And you don't know what people have been through over time. You have surprised me in a great way over the years, and I appreciate you abundantly. He surprised me when we learned that he was called to preach, and I said, praise the dear Lord for that. We need good preachers. We need young preachers to take over when us old fellas pass off the scene. And then he surprised me one day. He got up and sang a solo. I said, I didn't know he could sing like that. And then he surprised me again this morning. I didn't know he wore 15 size shoes. Well, I got up here and looked at his shoe. It got to be a 15 or a 16. But that helps you stand tall. Amen. And what a blessing it is to be here with you again today. We love all of you. And you're very precious to us. Now, when I was here a year ago, I picked on Tyler. You remember I told about the fella that fell out of the plane or jumped out of the plane, his parachute didn't open. But today I've got to pick on Scott. And if you think Scott's a little bit sad today, it's because he's had a bad morning. He got off to a bad start this morning. He cut himself shaving. And he had to put Band-Aids all over his wound. Pull your britches leg up there and show them, brother. So, he's had a bad day. He's had a bad day already. Bless his heart. You know, that's what they say down south. Most preachers don't know what it means, but bless your heart. Bless your heart. And it's good to be here today. It's a joy to be here today. And I enjoyed that. I like the old songs. And sung in the right way, and I appreciate that so much. And when you got to the rat-a-tat-tat, you turned that off, didn't you? But I thought that just went right along with it. But it just wonderful. I enjoyed that immensely. And all the music today has been a benefit and a blessing. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Genesis 15, I'll catch you there in a minute. Now, if I preach too long, don't worry about it. I did last Sunday night in Summersville, West Virginia, and I wrote the church a letter of apology this week. So if I preach too long, I'll apologize for it in my thank you note to you. So don't get all uptight about it, but it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 17 says this, and he entered into a ship. That's the Lord Jesus, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Now the disciples entered into a ship, and they were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were headed kind of northeast toward Capernaum as they were making that little trip. And a terrible storm came up in John chapter 6. And the Bible says while he was coming to them, it was now dark. And he was not come to them. America, it's getting dark. It's getting dark. Spiritually, we're darker as a nation than we've ever been before. We're in great spiritual darkness. And he's not come yet. I remember when I went to Bible college years ago, in 1964, a friend and I would get out and pray and have prayer meetings. And he would say, now, I don't think we've got time to finish school and have a ministry. I think the Lord will come before we get out of school. My goodness, I could have gone to school 10 times since then, you know. I crammed 4 years into five, so I could have done 5 years, five or ten times I could have gone through. And he's not come yet. But I noticed this in the last 50 years. It's gotten dark. And I'm afraid that we're getting used to the dark, and that's bad. The darkness ought to cause us to be alarmed. It ought to cause us to pray more. It ought to cause us to work harder. Our days are short. We don't have long to work. And we must work. The night cometh when no man can work. And it's getting darker by the day. And I don't know what all God's got in store for America before Jesus comes in the clouds. But I do know this. It's getting darker by the day. But sometimes God did his best work in the dark. Maybe you're going through some dark times. Miss Gloria, thank you for coming. I'm so glad you're here. Just buried your mom, said goodbye to her, and your heart's broken, but you were in the house of God. Hey, whatever your problem is, quitting church ain't the answer. Whatever your problem is, quitting church ain't the answer. Never has been, never will be. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Sunday afternoon when our little girl was laid to rest up here at Mumford, Tennessee, 8 days shy of her 7th birthday, she went home to be with Christ, and she's safe there on the other side. She never has to worry about Hussein Obama. And she's safe on the other side. But we were in church morning and evening. And that next Wednesday night, we were in church. Now, I'm not saying that to brag, except I brag on Jesus. It's his church. And the church has done a lot for us, and I need my church a lot more than my church needs me. A lot more than my church needs me. I need the church in these dark, dark days. But any day now, we're going to hear a trumpet and come up hither, and we'll get a new body and go back to heaven real quickly, real quickly. Tom Malone reminds us in his preaching, and he's with the Lord now, but we do get to hear him on CD and tapes now and then. Tom Malone said this. He was driving through East Tennessee, headed to speak on a Sunday morning in a little town in North Carolina, and he had to go through the edge of Tennessee, up through the mountains. And he said he tuned the radio on. It was early on a Sunday morning, and there was a mountain preacher preaching. And he was preaching on grace. He said, I want to tell you a little bit about grace. He said, I went out to the hen house this morning, and I gathered up eggs. He said, I thank God for his grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there wouldn't be no shell on them eggs. Have you ever picked up an egg without a shell? And Brother Tom said, amen, brother. God's grace takes care of every need in life. Amen. Aren't you glad God is taking care of us and watching over us? People always ask us, how are you doing? Better than I deserve. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by the grace of God. And we didn't necessarily steal that from David Ramsey, but he says it all the time on his radio show, better than I deserve, better than I deserve. And think that's true. God's been better to us than we deserve. He has not dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. Heaven is high above the earth. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God has been gracious and still is. If the devil had his way, you'd be dead before your feet hit the linoleum this morning. Yeah, sure would have. You'd have dropped dead in the shower. Yeah, you would have. And the devil's a murderer. And it's God's grace that we're here today, and that we can experience his blessing. Now it said there in John 6, it's now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And you may have some dark hours that you're going through, and you're looking for Jesus to come. Psalm 139, 12 says, darkness hideth not from thee, night shines as the day. They are both alike unto thee. Now think about that. Day and night are both alike to God. Now, I know darkness is a picture and a type of the world being in deep darkness and sin. But still, and yet, God does his best work in the dark. If God did not come into a dark world through the person of his Son, there'd be no salvation for us. It says in Psalm 74:16. Thou makest darkness. Why is it so dark? God made it dark. And the darkness in our life, the sad times in our life, God has a purpose for that. Read and study Ecclesiastes, and he puts one in our life, happiness and joy, and sorrow and peace. One offsets the other, prosperity and poverty. And God brings the darkness as well as the light. Thou makest darkness. And Psalm 16, verse 7, he says, I can't even read my writing. Also, thou wilt also instruct me in the night season. God will instruct us in the night season. And then he says in Psalm 63, 6, I will meditate on thee in the night watches. David, he said, I'll meditate on God in the night watches. Not when the sun is bright and shining, but in the night season, he didn't forget God. I've heard songs about, I'll praise the Lord all the day long. Well, what about when the sun goes down? Keep on praising him. Psalm 77, 6, the psalmist talks about my song in the night. My song in the night. Job 35:10 says, God, my maker, giveth songs. God gives us songs. Now, one reason folks don't hear songs from God, it might be because they rejected him as their maker, as their creator. And if, after all, if he's not our creator, then the creature's not going to have to answer to him. And that's what man's trying to do, is to get God as the maker out of their mind and out of the existence as far as they're concerned. And they don't have to recognize him and trust him as redeemer. But if you reject him as maker, you'll never know him as Savior and Lord. Now go back to Genesis 15. I said maybe sometimes God does his best work in the night. Now it was time for God to make a promise to Abraham about salvation, about the nation of Israel. And that Abrahamic promise extends all the way down to us, Brother Gene. That Abrahamic promise extends to us because we are of the seed of Abraham. Through Jesus Christ, we have been adopted into Abraham's family. And this promise that God made to Abraham is beneficial to us as well. Now, when God wanted to make a promise, he put Abraham to sleep. Notice in verse 12, Genesis 15, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. A deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, and horror of great sight. Well, say it with me. Darkness fell upon him. Verse 17. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. All that Abraham did is divided the pieces of the animal. Part of the animal on this side, part of the animal on this side. And then till the sun went down, he kept the birds away from him. That's all he did. But when it's time to make a promise that had to do with eternal salvation, Abraham was put in a deep sleep. The Abrahamic covenant is one-sided. It is unconditional. And God does all the promising. Show me in Genesis 15 where Abraham made a promise to God. It's not there. God made a promise to Abraham. And when he made this promise, it was total darkness. And as God passed through those pieces of sacrifice, he said what he would do. Verse 18, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And he names the people that are there now. And he made a promise while it was dark. Israel's survival as a nation is based on God's promise. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And I don't care how many nations, 18 or 20, however, gathered up around Israel, Arab nations now, and each of those have vowed to eliminate, annihilate Israel. But they forgot to look up. God is going to protect Israel for Abraham's sake. God made a promise to Abraham. Israel's surviving. Israel has a future because God made a promise. Abraham has a seed in fulfillment of God's promise. See, Israel was a blessed land, earthly, that has to do with the great sand of the sea, great numbers of Israelites as the sand of the sea. But he told Abram also, as the stars of heaven. That's a heavenly people. So they are blessed earthly like no other nation. And they are blessed heavenly like no other nation. And thank God we've been grafted in. We're going to say when we get to heaven, Father Abraham, because God made a promise to you and God kept his promise, I'm one of your children. God bases our salvation on his promise. That's why it's important for you and I to believe God. He which hath received his testimony, John 3:33, he which hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. What are you saying when you believe the Bible? You're saying God's true. God's not a liar. God keeps his word. And that'll merit you heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. You've got to believe God. You've got to trust him. There's no other way. Well, I'd like to believe and work for salvation. God said that can't be. If it be of works, it's no more of grace. Romans 11:6. If it's of grace, it's no more works. Romans 11:6. Your works will cancel out God's grace. You have to believe God. And he told Timothy, Paul did, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Our salvation is based on God's faithfulness to his word. A dear lady was dying, and she knew death was approaching, and she asked her pastor to help her remember and learn some scripture verses that would comfort her in her last hours. And he helped her, and she did pretty good at memorizing them. And then near death's door, he came over to see her, and she was in a panic. And she said, Pastor, all those verses, my mind just can't get wrapped around them. I can't remember them. He said, honey, you don't have to. God remembers. God remembers his promises. And you can get so feeble, and dementia can overtake you or me, and we can't remember hardly anything. But God remembers. So God did a work in the darkness in Abraham's day. He did a work in darkness in Moses' day. Turn to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. You remember the Passover? You remember when Moses was called of God? And he said, I'm going down. You want to go with me? What are we going to do? I'm going to deliver the children of Israel. And I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece. Take your staff and let's go. Take your rod and let's go. So God did a great work. And when God gets ready to do a great work, he calls a man. And he does a great work through that man. And that man in this case was Moses. Exodus 10, look at verse 23 or 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any man, any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Hey, your home can have light. I don't care how dark it is in America. Let the sodomites do what they want to do. Let the bigots do what they want to do. Let the racists do what they want to do. Let Islam do what it wants to do. But the darker it gets down here, the brighter your light can shine out of your home. The children of Israel had light in the land of darkness in their homes. Darker grows the night, brighter glows the light. And if this room was darkened completely right now, completely dark, and you just lit one little candle, everybody would notice the light of that candle. And if you'll shine a light for Jesus in these dark hours, God will see to it that somebody sees it. Somebody will get a hold of it. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. This is a Passover. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And then skip on down to verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. God's working in the dark. God says, I'll pass through in the night. Amen. He didn't have to wait till morning. He didn't have to do it during noontime. He worked in the night. And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Somebody said that the death angel came through. No, it said God came through. God's the author of life and death. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You can hear a little boy or a little girl crying out during the night, Daddy, did you put the blood on the doorpost? Daddy, did you put the blood on the lentils? Daddy, has the blood been applied? Moses said, God was going to pass through. And Daddy, I don't want to die. Has the blood been applied? Sad thing in America, 55% of the homes in America of black families. Black families. 55%. One person. It's a one parent household. That means 45% there's no daddy around. In most cases, it's daddy. He skipped out. Our U.S. government has done more to destroy the black home than anything I know. And that's another sermon within itself. But that night, it got terribly dark. And if the blood was not applied to the doorpost, God took the life of the oldest child. Whether they were Egyptian or had to have been Israelites. Aren't you glad the Bible's clear on whosoever will may come? Aren't you glad we Gentile dogs can get in just like an Israelite can get in? I am. And I don't care what John MacArthur says. I don't care what Mr. Scroll says. I heard him on radio the other day, and he said whosoever will, and their thinking has been just eliminated from the Bible. But you can't take whosoever will out of the Bible. God put it there. And it's whosoever will and whosoever won't. If you don't want God, you won't get him. He will not drag you to heaven kicking against him. You'll have to want to be saved. You'll have to trust Christ by faith as one of those whosoever wills. But thank God, the blood has been applied. Then number three, he did a great work in Abram's life when he made a promise. He did a great work in Moses' ministry when he passed over the sins of the people because of the blood. Now turn to Matthew chapter 27. And God did a great work in the dark when Jesus died on Calvary. When he made a purchase. God made a promise in the dark. He passed over our sin in the dark. And God himself made a purchase while it was dark. Matthew 27, verse 45. Are you listening? This is the word of God. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after his resurrection. See, he's the first fruit of the resurrection. Went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, I like verse 54. I think this Roman soldier, this centurion, got saved. And they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. God made a purchase while it was dark. He cried with a loud voice. You know what he cried out? It is finished. It didn't mean God's finished. It didn't mean I'm finished. It meant the work of salvation is finished. It's complete. It took place on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. He purged our sin on a tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it all during 3 hours of darkness. The demons of hell thought they were having a heyday. But that's just a fulfillment of the psalmist when he said he's digged a ditch and fell in it. The devil's digging ditches. But what people don't see is the devil's going to fall in his own ditch. He ain't going to win. We know who the winner is. We've already read the last chapter. And we look at Calvary, we know who won that day. Our salvation was purchased in the dark. Just maybe. Think on it. God does his best work in the darkness. And darkness can come into your life and give God a chance to work. Don't quit on him. Just dig deeper. Just get in there and say, when the way gets rough, the rough gets get in there. The tough get in there. Stay with it. Don't quit on God. Don't quit church. That will give you 1,000 reasons to walk out on God. We had a fellow in Boomer, West Virginia, that when I was pastoring there in 72, he was a meat cutter in a local grocery store. And Dale took a liking to me, and Dale Wagner was his name. His wife's name was Dreema. And they were Sunday morning only people. But they came to church Sunday morning to keep their children, to get them used to coming to church. They were growing up, a boy and a girl. So I'm glad they were there. But Dale was not saved. Well, we had him on our list of visit people to visit. And I would go back there, and all their vehicles would be there, but he wouldn't answer the door. Years later, after he got saved, he apologized to me for not answering the door. He said, "I didn't want to talk to you. I was lost, and I was in the darkness, and I didn't want to get saved." And under my ministry, he didn't get saved. But under a faithful man of God that stayed after him, took up where we left off, they kept after Dale Wagner and kept praying for Dreamin'. And one of those days, when you didn't think anything was going to happen, Dale Wagner came to the altar. And he said, "I want to get saved." Dreamer was beside him, said, "I want to get saved." And now they had a Christian home. He began to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And everything was clicking along real well. And then his daughter got to be about 19, 20 years of age. And like girls do, they got interested in the opposite sex. And she got a boyfriend. That does happen. That just doesn't happen in West Virginia. It happens in other places too. And she got interested in a boy. And they fell in love and they became engaged. And one day they were driving from Montgomery, West Virginia, State Route 61, over to Oak Hill, you that are familiar with that territory. And they went around a curve, and a vehicle was coming on the wrong side of the road, hit them head on. Both of them were killed. Darkness. Like you've never seen before, hit that family. Their baby girl, just fixing to celebrate their wedding, just fixing to walk his darling daughter down the aisle, she's dead. She's with the Lord now. Darkness. You know what Dale didn't do? He didn't quit church. Dreamer didn't quit church. They stayed on their pew. You need the church when you're going through darkness. During great sorrow, you need somebody there that understands God's side of the picture. The world don't understand God. And your advice that you'll get from the world is not going to be what you need. Within a few days of a year past their daughter's dead, their son, he had a girlfriend. And they were in love. They dated for a while. And they were going down that same highway. God can put things together. And going down that same highway, within just a few hundred yards of where their daughter had a wreck and died, their son had a wreck and he got killed. His girlfriend lived through the wreck. No wedding. Both children now with the Lord. Dale did not quit God. After that, he taught Sunday school. After that, he became a deacon. They served the Lord loyally and faithfully. We went back, Ann and I went back to the church's 100th anniversary. I didn't start that church. But in 2005, we went back there for celebrate their 100th anniversary. And that's when Dale came to me and he said, I owe you an apology. He said, "I used to hide from you. But he said, I love you, Brother Ward. And right there, faithful. That's not the end of the story. 20 years passed, nearly, since her son died. One day he got a strange phone call from a lady, very much a lady. And she said, Dale Wagner, I must share something with you. I am the aunt of the girl that your son was going to marry. I am the aunt of the girl your son was going to marry. She's gone on with her life. You do not know it. She did not want you to know it. You were hurt already enough. But when your son was killed, she was pregnant with his child. She went ahead and had the baby. Her mother is my sister. Dale said, what are you doing? Are you trying to, through some devious plan, blackmail us? What's going on here? He didn't believe the woman. She said, it's so. It's not something we're making up. And we will meet you at Shoney's restaurant near Belle, West Virginia. And we'll be there on a certain day. And they picked a time and said, you get in, sit down, take your seat, be where you can watch the door. And we're going to enter the restaurant. And after you see this young son that was born to my niece, I think you'll know. Dale hurt. Dream of hurt. They never had anything like, never even heard of something this ridiculous. He said, we got to the restaurant. We watched the door. And when they arrived, the mother of his grandson, turned out to be his grandson, and the grandmother and the aunt, they were all there. They walked in together. And he said, when he came through the front door, I knew nobody can look like my son like he looked like my son unless he is my grandson. And he said, I knew instantly this wild story was true. And from that, we got together, and the young man moved in with him. After all these years of not even knowing his grandpa, he moved in with them, and they sent him to college, West Virginia Tech in Montgomery, and helped him finish his schooling. And the last record I had of it, I don't know what's happened the last few years, a couple of years, but they were both teaching Sunday school in the same church. Grandpa and his darling grandson. Isn't it amazing? When it gets so dark, you think, God could work in a situation like that. God did work in a situation like that. It's a wonderful thing when you learn God works in the dark. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I just want Jamie to play softly on the piano. We'll not try to sing. I want the pastor to stand here in front of the communion table, if you will. And if you're not sure, you're not teetotally 100% sure that you have everlasting life, trust Christ as your Savior. He'll not do you wrong. He'll always be with you. But you've got to be His. You've got to be His. The worst way to die is to die without Christ. And if you come up here and say, Brother Don, I'm not saved, or I don't know I'm saved, we'll show you in the Bible how to be saved. We can do that. Let's all stand softly together, quietly, as the pianist begins to play. Father, have your way in each of our lives and hearts. Thank you for working in the dark, always working, always alive in our life. Help us as Christians. Lord, you said judgment must begin at the house of God. And may we let you judge us the way you want to so that the world can know Christ. Help us to have revival in our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel like you ought to come for prayer, come on, Christian. Don't let the altar be a strange place in your life. Come on. Maybe y'all just determine all over again, I'm not going to quit. I'll be like Dale and Dreamer. I'm just not going to give up by the grace of God. I'm not going to throw the towel in and quit. Darker grows the night, brighter glows the light. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? How many with a lifted hand say, thank God I remember receiving Christ as my Savior. I know I belong to Him. Hold your hand up real high. If you're saved and you know it, hold your hand up. Thank you. If you couldn't raise your hand, when are you going to be able to? When are you going to take care of that? Time is wasting. Sand's dropping through the hourglass of your life. When that last grain of sand falls, it'll all be over. Please let God have His way. Don't leave this building today without Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to tell you one story. It happened this week. This week. It's brand new, fresh. I got a phone call from the pastor at Clark Fork Baptist Church in Clark Fork, Idaho. I used to pastor there. And he said, I got a wonderful phone call this week. I said, boy, that's great. When he don't get wonderful phone calls, he calls me and cries on my shoulder a little bit. And I was glad he had a wonderful news to tell me. He said, Richard called me the other day. Richard's a man in their church, 81 years old. When I was there, it was never anything I didn't ask Richard to do, or I would ask Richard to do that he didn't do. I mean, he was always there. He had tools. I'll fix that. Get out of the way. I'll do everything I can. And some things he couldn't do, but he would give it a real try. So we're talking about a good man. We're talking about a man that we would all judge as, you know, churches need fellows like him. But he called him Tuesday and he said, Pastor, I need my pastor. And he was crying. He was upset. He said, I thought Faye had dropped dead. You know, found his wife dead or something. He was really upset. And then she came on the line. She said, yeah, get over here. She was crying. So he got over there as quickly as he could. And Richard fell in his arms and he said, I'm not saved. I want to be saved. He said, 61 years ago, I became a Baptist and got baptized to marry Faye. She wasn't going to be married to a heathen. So I became a, quote, Christian to marry Faye. But I didn't get saved. And he'd been under deep conviction for several weeks. It went on for years at times. But for the last 2 weeks, he couldn't live with himself. Faye said she couldn't hardly live with him. Said he was really hard to live with. But you know what happened that day? He got saved. Amen. I learned about it Wednesday. And I love those dear people. They love us. They love us dearly. I waited till yesterday to call him. I called him. And early in the conversation, he said, I've got some wonderful news. I said, well, I need some wonderful news. He said, I'm going to get baptized tomorrow because I got saved the Bible way. And I'm going to heaven. 81 years old. Admitted he was lost. He got saved God's way. And then a little bit later in the conversation, he said, you reckon John Thompson is saved? John Thompson's a man that lives nearby. Comes to church some with his Christian wife. And he said, maybe John ain't saved. I think I'll go see him this afternoon. That's a good sign that Richard got saved because he immediately got interested in John. Now, what are you going to do about John? Thank you, preacher.